The second reading today is from Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. It's on page 966. It is the prayer that Jesus taught us all. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is truly the word of the Lord.
Great. Please keep that open there. That's what we'll be looking at this morning. Though, first of all, I just want to ask you to do something for me. Just as we did last week, can you please grab your news and notes, and can you please turn to the inside there where there's space for sermon notes? And I just want to ask you to do something for me. Just like last week, grab a pencil and, again, write down three prayer points. A couple of things about that. Just again, remember, this is not for anybody else. You're not going to be asked to share these things. They're just between you and God. So if you want to write in code so the person next to you can't cheat and copy yours, then you can do that, because God knows what you're writing. Also, when I say three prayer points, what I mean is just three things, any three things you would like to say or to ask of God this morning. And just to let you know, this is not a test. There are no right answers other than the ones you want to give. So if you don't have a pencil, just please put up your hand. I can get you one. Does anybody need a pencil? No? Everybody's good. Fantastic. So just take a moment to do that. Okay, time's up. Just put that to one side. We will come back to that shortly. Thank you. As you know from last week, we are currently at school with Jesus, learning from him, the master of prayer, how to pray, which I think is just awesome. If you want to know how to pray, then you'd have to think we're in exactly the right place, for he knows what it is to pray. He's the Lord of prayer. He knows what it's like to be one of us and pray. And here he gives us this template for prayer. Verse 9 says, pray like this. Jesus said, pray like this. Jesus gave us this prayer to help our praying. Last week in the first line of the prayer, we saw Jesus give us a vision of just who it is we are praying to. This we discovered is the most important of things to understand as we pray. Just who it is we're praying to, who it is we're praying to, thoroughly shapes and informs how you pray, what you pray, when you pray, how often you pray. Knowing who you pray to is thoroughly, thoroughly important. And what we learnt last week was that the one we speak to in prayer is not just any old Joe. Jesus taught us to pray, again in verse 9, to our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. I don't know about you, but I found hearing these things again so helpful. I found it so enriching for my prayers to be reminded by Jesus of these things. Firstly, this privilege to be able to call the transcendent creator of the universe, the omnipotent ruler and terrifying judge of the cosmos, Dad. Jesus, the eternal Son, has taken on our humanity, and he wants us to know and enjoy God the Father as he does. He knows and enjoys the Father giving all things to the Son, And he knows and enjoys the honour and privilege of being about his Father's work. And he wants us to share in that with us, share that with us, that rich, eternal life of sonship. Pray like this, he says, our Father in heaven. This week, we want to travel further. We have been blessed to understand more of whom we pray to. Now we want to know what it is that we should actually pray. Knowing God the way I do as my Heavenly Father, what concerns should shape my prayers? Knowing God as our Heavenly Father, what does Jesus teach us about what we're to pray for? Well, as you look at the prayer, unsurprisingly, you find that the devoted son has a concern about the things of the Father. In fact, the whole of the first half of the prayer is concerned about these things, about the Father. He's concerned about his name, his kingdom, his will. The son, the devoted son, is concerned about the Father's reputation. Hallowed be your name. The son, the devoted son, is concerned about the Father's rule. Your kingdom come. And the son is concerned about the Father's plans. Your will be done. This morning, we're going to have a look at the next of these lines. Hallowed be your name. Let's continue to learn from Jesus. Let's have a look at this. Firstly, hallowed be your name. Jesus teaches us to care for our Father's reputation. Names are important, aren't they? You can have a good name, you can have a bad name. You're nothing without your name, people will say. As just an example of this, you just need to think about some of the things we've been reading in the media lately. You just need to think of the thoughts and feelings that the names Peter Slipper and Craig Thompson evoke for us at the moment. You know, just kind of sadly, their names have become mud, haven't they? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. And this is true of God's name as well. God's name is important too. And this is what this first request is all about. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name is a prayer that cares about our Father's reputation. So the word hallowed is a word that means to make holy, right? So the prayer request is, Father, make your name holy. What does that mean? Well, this is a request that his name be special, that it be respected and honoured and revered. This is a request that God's matchless name might be revered, adored and glorified. This is a prayer that God may cause his name to be held in utmost respect and honour. It's a prayer that its fame might spread abroad and be magnified. It's a prayer that asks God that God may be known for who he truly is, and that this would also be with the affections that are appropriate to such knowledge, right? Love and honour and respect and fear, thanksgiving and joy. Father, hallow your name. Make it holy. Make it revered and honoured. This is what this prayer is. And as children of the Father, we care about that, don't we? We care about the Father's name. If God's name is mud, that's a problem, isn't it? We care about that. We care about that for a number of reasons, of course, because firstly, it would just simply be an outrageous and unjust thing. God doesn't deserve that. God is an awesome God. He is thoroughly righteous in all that he does. He's deeply holy. Our Father is the almighty God of the universe, who is gracious and compassionate, who is slow to anger and abounding in love. He's faithful. He's forgiving. He does not leave the guilty go unpunished. He is an awesome God. For this not to be appreciated, or even worse, if this is something that is slandered, that's morally outrageous. That's a morally outrageous thing. It's just like if you were at work or you're dropping off the kids at school and you overhear a conversation where someone who is not present is being slandered, where lies are being, terrible untruths are being spoken and spread about them. You know, that's outrageous. I hope you're outraged by that. Generally, a person doesn't deserve that sort of treatment, that their name be dragged through the mud like that. Now, how much more is this the case for the gracious God of the universe, the God who makes his sun and rain to fall on the righteous and the wicked alike, who has given his son in this the most spectacular displays of love ever seen in the world's history? If God's name is mud after all of that, then that is a morally outrageous and unjust thing. This is our Father's name. This is our family name. This is something we care about. And therefore we pray, hallowed be your name. Secondly, if we care... We care if God's name is mud, because if his name is mud, that will mean people are missing out on the salvation they need. So you think about this. How will people come to trust God? How will people come to turn to him if people think God is irrelevant? Or if God is distant, grumpy, uncaring, impotent, ineffectual? How will people come and see and taste that God is good? I have a friend who stays away from the dentist. They stay away from the dentist because they're convinced that all dentists are just sadists who just want to hurt him and take all his money. That's pretty sad, isn't it? And it's pretty sad, especially if you ever catch a whiff of his breath, you realise actually he really needs a dentist. It's the same kind of thing with our great Father in heaven. How many people in their ignorance will stay away from church because of the lies and the slander and the blasphemy of someone like Dawkins at the moment? If God's name is profaned among the nations, if God's name is mud, how will people acknowledge him and honour him as God and come and receive the gift of love and salvation that they so much need in their lives? This is really a most important issue, that God's name be hallowed. Children of God want God's great name to go out and be known. We want people in the world to know how awesome God is so that they might know and turn and live. Jesus, the devoted Son, teaches us to care about our Father's reputation here in this prayer. He teaches us to pray, Father, hallowed be your name. The final point I just want to make this morning about this prayer is this, that of course, when we are praying for God to hallow his name, what we're of course praying is that we will hallow God's name. What I mean is this, one of the chief ways in which God's name is hallowed in this world is, of course, through his people. As children of God, we show by our holiness what our Father is like and what his influence has been upon us. As one preacher once said a couple of hundred years ago, when our lives shine, his name shines. We know this, of course, to be true in all families, really. We will often speak of children being a credit to their parents, don't we, when they're well-behaved. Oh, what a credit that child is to you. Also, the converse is true, isn't it? We might at other times speak of someone bringing disgrace on the family name. And this is the way it is with us, his church. Being children of God, we are the Father's promotional campaign in the world. We are his advertisement. We, the church, are the body of Christ here on earth. We are his hands and his feet. We speak his gospel, great gospel word to the world. And so as we live in the world, we either shine for Christ or we bring his name into disrepute. It's like I was at the rugby yesterday watching my son play, and as I'm watching this game, one of the boys from the other team, of course, comes out explodes with this incredible swear word right there in front of the whole crowd, right? You're right up on the sidelines. It's right, the scrum's right in front of you. Incredible swear word, and then kind of stands up and just takes this huge swing at a head. And it's just like, whole crowd was just shocked. Now, here's the thing, isn't it? You stand there and you look at that kid and you don't see an individual, do you? You don't just go, that boy, he's got a bit of a self-control problem. You don't think that, do you? You don't see just an individual. You see the school. Some blogs. They're not a very fine school, aren't they? They're a bit of a dirty school. See what happens there? You don't see the individual. You see the larger group. And it's the same for us as Christians. We represent our Father in heaven. And you know, when you do something wrong, people will take any opportunity to also bring the name of our God down. You guys call yourself Christians. Well, how lovely. I might have asked how many people stay away from church because of someone like Dawkins, but even more sadly, we also need to ask the question, how many people stay away from church because of the behaviour of Christians themselves? Hypocrisy, selfishness, exclusivity, unkindness, power games, politics, gossip, slander. I'm not just talking about other churches elsewhere. I've talked to people who have stayed away from this church because of things like that. I don't know whether that surprises you. It shouldn't surprise us. We're not immune to these sorts of things. But it should make us repent immediately and weed out these things. We pray for our Heavenly Father to act to hallow his name. And what we're doing is we're actually asking him to act in us. To pray this prayer is a prayer to say, Lord, make me holy. Work in me. Work in my brothers and sisters so that we will acknowledge your unsurpassed and glorious holiness more and more in our lives. That we might shine as lights for you. To pray hallowed be your name will be to also pray things like for our worship together. We'll be praying that our prayers and that our singing and our listening to God's word would be done from the heart as a heart thing, done with honour and respect and reverence. To pray hallowed be your name is also to pray things like the way that we speak in the world. You know, the New Testament has a lot to say about the words we use with one another. Ephesians says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building one another up. But, friends, there is a strong correspondence between the sort of person you are and the sort of things you find coming out of your mouths. If you are always speaking about the superficial, if you're always speaking about the inane, if your speech is filled with deceit and half-truths, with coarse joking and lewdness, that says something about your heart. And it also says something about the God of light and goodness who is supposed to have invaded your heart. Friends, if we are dishonourable, if we're argumentative at work, if we're rude to shopkeepers, if we're selfish with money, if we're casual about pornography, disloyal to colleagues, then you know what will happen? Of course, others will notice that. And also, people will think little of our Father in heaven. But of course, friends, the opposite is true as well. If we live holy lives, if we live lives that are reliable and honest at work, loyal and kind to our friends, respectful in our dating, supportive of our partners and caring towards our children, if we're generous with hospitality and our money, if we're careful with alcohol, if we're kind to the weak and the oppressed, if we live those kind of lives, then you know what will happen? Others will quietly begin to respect our Father who has shaped that in our lives. What a joy it is actually to live lives like this. To live lives that hallow the name of our God. Lives that honour God is actually fun. It's not a burden. It's actually enjoyable. It's actually kind of like this. A few years ago, friend invited me to the cricket. He was a member at the SCG, so pretty nice day out. I got to enjoy the cricket. Actually, and this was a great day for cricket lovers, this particular day that I was able to go. It was actually Steve Waugh's last game at the SCG before he retired. We were hoping something special would happen, and it did. Waugh comes out to bat with in the last session with about a session to go, and he kind of scratches around for a while, and then the runs start to flow a little bit more quickly, and then the buzz starts to go around the field, around the crowd. Will Waugh knock up a ton in a session before the end of the play? Well, it's going to be tight. In fact, it came down to the last ball of the day where he had to hit a four. Nah, he couldn't possibly do it. We're going to be left hanging. He did it. On the last ball of the day, he hits a four and scores his ton. The crowd went nuts. I just remember standing there with the whole crowd for what seemed like hours afterwards, just chanting his name. Steve Waugh, right? Chanting his name. It was fantastic. And here's the thing. Praising the name of someone worthy, it's fun. It's enjoyable. It's not a burden, but a joy to be a part of a crowd like that. Friends, how much more is this true when we devote our lives to hallowing the name of our Father in heaven? Our Father designed us for pleasure in him. He is infinitely good, and he created us to enjoy his goodness. He is worthy and of our honour and our love and respect. Hallowing his name is a most serious duty for all of us. But it also happens to coincide with our deepest delight. Learning how to hallow his name will bring us the joy we desire. This morning we've been blessed, haven't we? Again, Jesus, our brother, who has known actually this delight from all of eternity, is telling us from his own personal experience how to face life's challenges. He says, pray like this. Pray, hallowed be your name. Friends, it's time to come back to your prayer points. I wonder if you can grab them again and have a look at them. And I guess this morning I just want you to look at them again and just think to yourself, firstly, just reflect on them, just to review those. Do you need to adjust them in light of what you've heard Jesus teach you this morning? Is there a way that your prayers aren't quite shaped by the knowledge you have that God is your loving Heavenly Father? How might your prayers change if you embraced that more and learnt from your big brother Jesus? Just take a moment to think that through.